Highs in the mid-60s, a southeast wind. Tonight, shower and storm chance picks up. Lows in the upper 40s to near 50. On Monday, watch out for severe weather. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 47 at our studios.
99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere. Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
It couldn't be us versus them anymore, because Jesus is for everyone, even if everyone is not yet for Jesus.
The doors we lock from the inside can't keep the risen Christ outside. Hear how he opens us up to others who also need his grace today on the Lutheran Hour. I'm Mark Eicher, glad to be with you on this, the second Sunday of Easter. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. Now here is our speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler.
Have you ever felt left out, excluded, like an invisible door slammed in your face? Philip, a friend of mine, was telling me about when he and his wife moved into a new neighborhood. They had come there from out of state for work. His wife was getting her graduate degree, and Philip ended up working at the local fire department. Soon after they moved in, some neighbors visited and welcomed them. But apparently things hadn't gone well. Because after that, almost overnight, the doors were closed. People in the neighborhood still smiled and waved at Philip and his wife, but that's where it stopped. It was like they were intentionally being shunned. Later, a coworker at the fire department explained it to Philip. Most of the people in this area that they had moved into were part of a close-knit religious community. Almost everyone in the town belonged to this religion, and anyone who didn't belong was systematically shunned. Whenever someone new moved in, they would check to see if you were convertible. And if you weren't, you made the list. And apparently something Philip and his wife had said put them on the list. And not just a figurative list. There was an actual list. Philip's co-worker at the fire department had shown him it was an official document sent out by the religious leadership. They even had their current contact information and everything, which was a little scary. Not like it was a hit list or something like that. It wasn't a convert or die program. They didn't get any death threats. There were no bricks thrown through their windows. You were welcome to go on living in their community, shopping, working, admiring the well-trimmed lawns and hedges and streets safe from crime, and people would go on smiling. And then they'd ignore you. Working at the fire department, Philip connected with a guy who was part of this religious group. They went through the fire academy together, were hired at the department on the same day, completed advanced training together. Philip thought they might be friends. But in all the years he worked there, Philip never met this man's wife or his children, never saw the inside of his house. Those doors were not open to him. It's an extreme example, but closed doors like that can happen in any tight-knit social group, especially among religious groups, including Christian groups, even if Christians ought to know better. The religious group that I just told you about, the one Philip and his wife experienced, was not Christian. But that doesn't mean Christian groups are immune to behavior like this. I've been to Christian churches in a city where visitors are customarily greeted with the statement, "You're sitting in my pew." I've known Christians who've moved into a small town, went to the local Christian church there, became members there, but never felt welcomed there because they weren't from there. Which meant that they weren't part of one of the two families that ran the church there. And I'm sure you could give me examples like that. Sadly, Christians are not immune to this sort of behavior, to shunning people socially. But you know that social shunning isn't just a religious practice. It happens outside of religious groups, too, even among groups that pride themselves in being open-minded and accepting. You remember those reports about prominent universities disinviting speakers, rescinding invitations because they might share ideas that the students deemed offensive? Or in some cases, when the speaker showed up, he or she was shouted down from the stage by angry students in the audience. And people on campus felt like they were walking on eggshells, that they needed to censor their opinions or else face career doors slammed in their faces. It happens everywhere. In Ivy League classrooms, basements in the Bible Belt, playgrounds and poker tables and bingo night at the nursing home, people shun other people. And they do it not because they're religious or irreligious. They shun people because they're afraid. We shun certain people when we are afraid of being offended or challenged, afraid of being compromised or contaminated, afraid of losing the good thing we've got going, or afraid of not getting what we think we're owed. We shun people because there's a part of us that thinks that the world can be neatly divided between good people and evil people, and it's us versus them. So we bar the doors and post a guard. Christians, followers of Jesus, among all people, we should know better. We should know better because when the first followers of Jesus were hiding in fear, afraid for their lives, trying to shut out a big bad world, Jesus, crucified and risen from the dead, passed through those doors. Twice, we're told this in the ancient account of Jesus, known as the Gospel according to John, two times how his disciples had shut and locked the doors from the inside to hide from the people who had killed their Lord, to hide from the memory of how they had failed him, to hide from a world that was out to get them. They were afraid. But Jesus went through the doors. He didn't ask their permission. He just showed up and changed their outlook. It couldn't be us versus them anymore, because Jesus is for everyone, even if everyone is not yet for Jesus. Listen how it happened, as it's recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were because of fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus, risen from the dead, came and stood among them and says to them, "Peace be with you." And after he had said this, he showed them his hands where they had nailed him to the cross, and he showed them his side that the soldier had run through with a spear. So the disciples were overjoyed when they had seen the Lord. Then again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you all." And then he breathed out and says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld." Now Thomas, who was one of the 12 disciples, who was called Didymus, he was not with the others when Jesus had come. So they, the other disciples, started saying to him, "We've seen him." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger in the place where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." 1 week later, the following Sunday, the disciples came together again, and Thomas was with them. Jesus comes, even though the doors were locked, and he stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And then he says to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands, and stretch out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Trust." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus says to him, "Because you have seen me, now you trust. Blessed are those who have not seen, but still they trust. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you all may trust, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and that by trusting, you may have life in his name. John chapter 20. I wonder what they were thinking during that week between these two scenes. What were they thinking about Thomas? Thomas, one of the 12 who'd been with them nearly from the beginning. Thomas, the realist, who just a couple of weeks ago had said, "Come on, guys, let's go with him," when Jesus was determined to go back to Jerusalem where the Jewish leaders were trying to kill him. Thomas says, brave and fatalistic, "Let's go so that we may die with him." Thomas is the guy who had a way of saying what was on everyone else's mind. "Teacher, we don't know what you're talking about," Thomas had said to Jesus after Jesus had told them the night before he was crucified, "You know the way to where I am going." Thomas told him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Which prompted some of the most important words ever spoken by Jesus. "I am the way and the truth and the life, Thomas. No one comes to the Father but through me." But now, Thomas wasn't having any of it. He was sick of all the cryptic sayings, all the ambiguity and mystery and unanswered questions. Thomas was done with Jesus, once and for all. Humanly speaking, unconvertible. Jesus was dead to him. So what do we do with Thomas now? I'm sure the disciples wondered. You'd think they would have shunned him, put him on the list, canceled him, unfriended him, left him off the text thread. He had, after all, indirectly ridiculed them and their naive faith, and they had every reason to be offended. And just having him around would make it awkward for everyone. You would have thought they would have locked him out. But Jesus had passed through the doors, hadn't he? He had risen from the dead, for Thomas, too, and promised God's peace. I wonder what Thomas was thinking. I'm guessing that following Sunday, the last thing in the world he was expecting from them was an invitation to come hang out. I mean, wouldn't it be weird now? It was like they were living in two different worlds. He was the realist, and they had been suckered in by fake news and conspiracy theories. He wouldn't laugh at their jokes anymore. He wouldn't lean into their stories like he used to. He wouldn't get it anymore. He had been one of them, but not now. But weren't they still his friends? They were. They'd stood by him. They looked past the offense and invited him in. Even with his doubts, they welcomed him. How could he refuse? Plus, if he couldn't be sure about his beliefs anymore, how could he be so sure about his doubts? Followers of Jesus, we are still tempted to close the doors on relationships. Thomas was our community's first test case, and by God's grace, we passed. And so today, when we are tempted to shut people out, people who offend us or threaten us or make us uncomfortable, we remember and trust the crucified and risen Jesus who passed through locked doors. And so it can't be us versus them anymore, because Jesus chose us. Not because we're good and the rest of the world is evil. Jesus chose us not to fight the world or to hide from the world or to condemn the world. Jesus chose us because God loves the world and wants to save the world. And so he sends us into the world. It's not good people versus evil people, but Jesus for everyone. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying there is no evil. No, there is evil, but it's not limited to them. It's in us too. And it's evil not because it offends us. It's evil because it tries to close us off from God. And we can't live without God because God made us for him, and so we can't live without him. But evil tries to tell us that we can. Evil tells us that we can shut out relationships and find happiness in ourselves. It tells us that people are the enemy and that we need to find a tribe to fight them. It tells us that we don't need God's word and God's wisdom in our lives, but that we can make up our own. Evil separates us from each other and from God, and left to ourselves, we would follow this way straight into hell, alone and afraid, with the doors locked from the inside. But evil cannot stand in Jesus' way. Jesus' way of breaking through our locked doors is called forgiveness. Not just any forgiveness, but God's forgiveness. And God's forgiveness isn't just about canceling debt. God's forgiveness is about opening doors. It's about making peace and restoring relationships. That's why Jesus adds this part about withholding forgiveness. When he told his disciples, if you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld. Withholding forgiveness does not mean shunning people. Christians are not called to shun or exclude or cancel people because Jesus died for all people, for sinners, for his enemies, for people who insulted him, for people who offended him, for people like us. He died and rose for everyone. And so shunning people is not the way of Jesus. Okay, then. So what does that mean, to withhold forgiveness? It sure sounds exclusionary. Think of it like this. Let's say I did something horrible to hurt a friend, but she wanted to forgive me. But for whatever reason, I couldn't stand to face her. So she sends another friend as a go-between on her behalf to talk with me. That friend comes to my door to confront me, but also to patch things up, to restore the friendship. But when I discover what this little meeting is about, the thought of it makes me feel guilty and ashamed and trapped all over again. So I slam the door and lock it from the inside. In that case, what happened to her forgiveness? It is withheld. It's withheld not because she wanted to shut me out, but because I'm still rejecting the relationship. So also with the word of Jesus. We have no choice but to withhold forgiveness when someone rejects a relationship with him, because withholding forgiveness means loving people enough to speak the truth to them, the truth that they cannot live without God, but that God still sends his son to live for them, and locked doors won't stop him. Listening to John chapter 20, where do you see yourself? Do you see yourself with the disciples? Not sure what to do about the Thomas in your life? Or do you see yourself with Thomas, doubting the truth and the wisdom of Jesus? If you are with Thomas, you don't need to assume that we Christians think we're better than you. We may not always admit it, but we know we're no better. We still need God and his forgiveness as much as anyone. And if you're with us, if you are among the disciples of Jesus, and you're wondering and fretting and praying about a Thomas in your midst, you don't need to assume that he or she is unconvertible. Just invite him in. Welcome her. Speak the truth in love, and speak love in God's truth, or maybe sometimes just love without saying anything. And let Jesus show up in his word and by his spirit, as he promised he would. Recently, I heard a story from a friend about his church. He gave me permission to share it with you, but I promised I'd change the names to protect people's privacy. The key moment happened at Sam's funeral. Sam was only 29 when he died, suddenly, tragically. Sam had grown up at this church. He was baptized there. He'd been active in the church youth group. His parents still belonged there. After graduating from school, Sam came out as gay. He knew what his church taught about this, what the Bible taught about human sexuality, that God had designed human sexuality to be fulfilled in marriage between a man and a woman for life, but also that sin had distorted and confused everything, and that the only way out of this mess was to trust in Jesus, to live in his forgiveness, and to try to live by God's wisdom rather than the world's. Sam hadn't gone to church much after coming out, but he was still close to his parents. His parents asked Pastor Mack to officiate Sam's funeral. Pastor Mack agreed. At the visitation before the service, Pastor Mack noticed Tom, Sam's partner. Tom was standing alone, away from the family. Pastor Mack was about to gather the family members just before the funeral started to have a special prayer with them. Pastor Mack goes over to Tom and extends his hand. Tom hesitated, maybe anticipating a lecture about how his lifestyle went against God's will. Pastor Mack introduced himself. He says to Tom, "It hurts to lose such a dear friend." And then he invited Tom to join the family for the prayer. And Tom did. The next day after the funeral, Tom came up to Pastor Mack and hugged him for a long time. Tom thanked him for the care that he gave to the family and to him. Pastor Mack told Tom that he was welcome here anytime, that the doors were always open. In the name of Jesus, amen.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. For free online resources, archived audio, and more, go to LutheranHour.org.
Lord Jesus, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.
The Lutheran Hour is made possible through the support of faithful listeners like you. To learn how your prayers and gifts can extend the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour, go to LutheranHour.org. Join us next week as guest speaker Dr. Dan Pavla presents a message titled, An Old Place, A New Beginning. Our theme music is by Peter Prochnow, Emily Rogers, and Alicia Enstrom. I'm Mark Eicher. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.
Been listening to the Lutheran Hour, brought to you weekly by Trinity Lutheran Church at 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells. Worship Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Family Bible Study Hour is at 8:30 a.m. on Sundays.
Your hometown station. Thank you.
Maximum Hits 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant hanging out with you on Sunday morning for a few minutes with Men at Work Down Under on Max FM.
Traveling in a Friday combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Where women go and men wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under. The leaders flow and mention her. Can you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
Middle of another 50-minute music hour.
Just good song after good song.
On 99.7 Max FM.
I never meant to be so bad to you. One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace. And that would wipe the smile right from my face. Do you remember when we used to dance? And incidents arose from circumstance. One thing led to another, we were young. And we would scream together songs unsung. Disco hotspots hold no charm for you. You can't concern yourself with bigger things. You catch a pull and ride the dragon's wings.
Cause it's the heat of the moment. The heat of the moment. The heat of the moment.
Showed in your eyes.
are gone and you're alone. How many nights you sit beside the phone? What were the things you wanted for yourself? Teenage ambitions you'll remember.
Maximum Hits, 99.7, Max FM. FM.
Local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on max.fm/contest-terms.
The home loan experts are at Community First Bank. Get great advice on how to improve your credit. Get pre-qualified so you know exactly what you can afford. And get matched to money saving first-time homebuyer programs. Quit paying rent, become a homeowner, and save money? Now that's a win-win-win. Experience the difference at Community First Bank.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com/homeloans. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Loan subject to credit approval. Restrictions may apply.
April is Global Volunteer Month. Wisconsin's volunteers are transforming our communities every day through their acts of service. Wondering how you can give back? Find the perfect volunteer opportunities at volunteerwisconsin.org or contact your local United Way or Volunteer Center. On volunteerwisconsin.org, you can filter opportunities by location, organization, cause, accessibility, and more to find your best fit. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
You know what's better than a limited time deal? An unlimited time deal. That's why the Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag with a Junior Bacon Cheeseburger, 4-piece Nugs, Junior Hot and Crispy Fries, and small soft drink is available all the time. Because the best time for fresh, never frozen beef and Applewood smoked bacon is all the time. Duh. I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot. For the best deal of all time, gotta be Wendy's.
Unlimited time does not mean forever. U.S. price and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Alaska, Hawaii, and California via third-party delivery. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like Metro Life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279EG Reedsburg.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine today. Maybe a stray shower. Otherwise, highs in the mid-60s. A southeast wind. Tonight, shower and storm chance picks up. Lows in the upper 40s to near 50. On Monday, watch out for the severe weather. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 51.
99.7. Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
I'm just a poor boy, I need no sympathy.
Because I'm easy come, easy go. Little high, little low.
Anyway, the wind
blows doesn't really matter to me.
To me. Mama just killed a man, put a gun against. Mamma mia,
mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me, for me.
is 99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere.
Backtracks USA, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
Time lock sealed. Destination confirmed.
The 80s.
Backtracks USA.
Here comes a couple of hours of hot 80s hits with me, Kid Kelly. Happy weekend. This is Def Leppard from 1988. Here's Hysteria.